Blog Talk Radio.
My God is real. He is real in my soul. My God is real. He has washed and made me whole. His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul. My God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, I can feel He made me whole. His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul. There are some things that I may not know. There are some places that I just can't go. But one thing for sure, my God is real. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul. My God is real, He's real in my soul. My God is real, He has washed and made me whole. And His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real, I can feel Him in my soul.
Praise the Lord, everybody. This is Macedonian Call Around the Globe coming to you from Springboro, Ohio. I am Sister Joanna Green with my husband, Evangelist Clint Green. And we just welcome you. Thank you for listening. If you want to be a part of this broadcast and you're listening by internet and you'd like to call in and share maybe a testimony or a prayer request, or maybe you're a preacher and you want to say something for the Lord, we welcome you. And we go by the King James Version Bible only. We want to make that clear. And you could call in at 347-989-8862. Again, it's 347-989-8862. Praise God. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Tonight's subject is on looking diligently, and that's taken from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. And we've got several callers tonight, and we thank God for you, every one of you. And I'm just going to go down the line, and if you want to tell us who you are and where you're located, we'll appreciate that, and we'll get you in turn here. 770-584, come in and tell us who you are, where you're located.
Praise the Lord, Brother Sister Green. This is Brother John from Thomaston, Georgia.
Hallelujah, Brother John. Praise God. And 706-975, come in and tell us who you are, where you're located.
Brother and Sister Green, it's Frieda Litchfield in Thomaston, Georgia.
Praise God. Hallelujah. And we've got another one, 770-855. Come and tell us who you are and where you're located.
I'm Robin Gresham from Thomaston, Georgia.
Praise the Lord, Sister Robin. Glad to have you. And each one of you, hang in there, and we'll let you obey God. We've got several prayer requests, and we're going to turn in some of those right now because they're coming in. Sister Sharon Jones, she says, yes, pray for her. She has an unspoken prayer request. Pastor Cleve Minnick, power in the blood, and one for his wife, Ruby Minnick, water on her leg. So the question that I had to them is if anyone had a prayer request or a testimony. So his testimony was power in the blood. Praise God, and pray for his wife. Morgan Isaac says, that she and her husband are expecting their second baby. They want to thank God for his blessing. I am 10 weeks, she says, far along, and I have been very sick. Please remember me. Praise God. Also remember her family who are ill and in the hospital. would like to request your help in praying for them, she says. Also, let's remember Donna Million. Her daughter is in the hospital right now, and she is a week overdue of having her baby and is in terrible, uncomfortable, and she's in the hospital, been in the hospital all day, and very sick. So let's remember her daughter as well. And remember Brother Tim Hall, financial blessing, and also he needs a healing in his body. Sister Becky Fritz says remember her also. And I'm going to throw one in there. Let's remember Brother Curtis Oney. God knows all about it, and I want us all to lift him up in prayer as well. Brother John, praise God. Thank the Lord for you, brother. Go ahead and just obey the Lord.
I'll tell you what, Sister Green, if you want to let a couple of the others from Thompson, if you want to let them go ahead, I think Sister Frieda has to go to work or early or something, but you can go ahead and let the other two from Thompson go ahead and go before me, and then I'll go.
Okay. Sister Frieda, I'm going to have Rachel. I just about, she gave me this look.
Yeah.
Can I let her read her scripture?
That's the other thing I was going to say.
You don't want me to settle that for. Go ahead.
I don't want to get in trouble by a 10-year-old.
No, you don't. We know that situation. Go ahead.
Thank you. This is Rachel Green. She's our 10-year-old daughter, and she reads every week, and we just appreciate her. Here's Rachel.
Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and be feeble knees, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed.
Praise God. Amen. I've got another caller here. I'm going to see where who they are. It's 478-391. Come in. Tell us who you are and where you're located.
This is Mary, Rosemary Hobbs from Thomaston, Georgia.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Hang in there, sis, and we've got a couple yet ahead of you, and we're going to have Sister Frieda. She's going to come in and obey God. Go ahead, Sister Frieda.
Well, I want to turn in some prayer requests first. I talked
Amen.
To I like following up when I find out. Another friend of ours had knee surgery last week, and her legs are swelling. They are turning black, and I prayed with her. The Lord has been impressed on me. When I see a need, I'd like to take it to the throne room. And so I prayed with her, and I told her, I said, I want to hear a good report. The doctors knows what's going on. She ended up in the emergency room yesterday, and they would not give her no pain meds. They said, you got to follow up with your doctor Tuesday. And that's what the doctor's office said. You got to just keep going with what you're doing. And I told her, I said, have you got your feet elevated? She said, yes, ma'am. And they said, don't do anything but take it easy. So let's remember her. And then I had a few more we've been praying for, and I got an update on Rosemary Bailey's brother. They took him out of ICU, and they sent him to Columbus Hospital with specialized doctors to see if they can do better than, because they lost him, I think, at least once or twice while he was out at the hospital here. And then her brother-in-law, they released him, and him and his wife both are in a nursing home in Butler. So let's remember them. And I got some good friends of mine. I haven't been able to get a chance to talk to them. His name is Donnie and Brenda Tidwell, and he's been having grandma seizures. So let's keep them in prayer tonight. Okay?
Amen. Yes, amen.
Okay. I'm going to start in Hebrews 12, and I'm going to start at verse 14 through 16. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness bring it up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You know, we can fall from grace, but all we have to do is say, Lord, forgive me for doing what I wasn't supposed to do, and I want to be right in where you want me in your line. I want to do what you want me to do, what you want me to say, and where you want me to go. Lest there be any fornicators or profane persons, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. You know, that there's a lot of people, they think that they cannot get through what they're going through. But if they would just turn everything over to the Lord knows from first to last, beginning to end, if you would just take it all your own self and say, Lord, this is not my problem, this is yours, you tell me what to do, and he will clear it up, Sister Green. He knows better than we do. We cause more problems and chaos and circumstance if we will listen to what he tells us what to do. We wouldn't have a lot of these problems and circumstances that faces people. But, yeah, and then I want to go to, but we have to listen to the Lord. He's a still, small voice, but you can listen, and he tells you. He directs me, and I started a job a couple of weeks ago, and everybody worries about me. They said, you know what happened to this, because they had one taxi cab driver that got killed here probably about 2 or 3 years ago. And I told him, I said, y'all look, I said, I've got my guardian angel protecting me. I got Jesus Christ as my co-holder on the set in the passenger side. And I said, the Lord is not going to let nothing happen to one of his people, his sons or daughters. And I said, I am fine. I said, I pray before I go to work. I pray while I'm at work. And I keep a very good present and positive attitude, positive thinking while I'm doing my job. I don't get no negative. I said, that goes to the side. But I pray for my people that gets in the vehicle with me, and I pray and I bless them. I said, praise you, Lord. Let them have a blessed day. And, you know, it changes the outlook when you do what's good for everybody. But people don't understand that. They think it's all supposed to be. If they go through some problems, they think, well, I'm supposed to kill myself because I can't take the heartache. No, you don't. That is all the devil wants you to think, is that's the only way to get out of your circumstance. It's not. It's not. If you turn it over to the Lord, he will come through you. He will use you to help somebody else who's going down the same path that you've already gone through.
Amen.
All right, I'm going to go to Psalms 34:14. I'm not going to do too many because I know there's other ones that needs to, too. Okay.
I'll take your time.
It says, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. You know, that's what we need to do. But I was talking to one of my friends that's on here, too, and she said, when you're doing what the Lord wants you to do, you're going to have evil to come up again. And that is true. That is so true. But we can have the goodness. The Lord wants us to be in goodness. He wants us to have blessings. He wants us to have peace. And we have to pursue it. If we don't pursue it, then we ain't going to have what he wants us to have. But I thank the good Lord that he has been blessing me. And, I mean, I am thankful the Lord has done what he's done for what he's given me and showing me what to do, where to go, what to say. And my circumstances, Sister Green, the Lord has been blessing me. I said, out of the blue, I went today. Yesterday was my 52nd birthday, and I mean the Lord, and people said, no, you're not. I said, oh, yes, I am, too. I said, the Lord has blessed me. I feel like I'm a teenager, but sometimes it feels like I'm not. And they said, no, you're not. You're in your 30s or 40s. I said, no, I'm sorry. I said, I turned 52 yesterday, and they said, you don't look like it. I can walk, I can talk, I can do whatever. And I talked to one of my aunts in the last couple of days, and she said, you know who you remind me of? I said, who? She said, your grandmother. She said she was always, and this was a very Christian lady, she would walk out, she would talk to everybody, she would praise the Lord and do whatever the Lord wanted her to do. I miss her. I miss her, but I was just thinking today, it'll be this week coming up. I've done lost my mom about 5 months ago, but you know what? I don't want her to come back, Sister Green. She is not suffering. She's up there with Jesus Christ. She's shouting on them streets of gold. And I love it that way. And I know my grandmother is too. And I thank the good Lord for everything he's doing in my life and what he's going to be doing for everybody else too. We just listen to him and do what he wants us to. Back to you.
Praise God. Very good word, sis. And we appreciate you. And happy Mother's Day to you, Sister Frida. And
thank you.
Praise God. Also, we'll remember the request, too, that you turned in, sis.
Okay.
770-855. Please forgive me. My pen wasn't writing when you told me. I know one is Sister Robin.
Yep, that's her.
Is that okay? And 478, tell me your name again, sis.
Mary, Rosemary.
Mary.
Just call me Mary.
Okay, I'm so sorry. I was trying to write and the pen didn't write anymore. Sister Robin, go ahead and obey God, sis.
Robin? Oh, she has problem with her phone sometimes.
Oh, okay. Maybe she'll get the call back in. Sister Mary, go ahead and obey the Lord, sister. Glad to have you on here.
Thank you. You know, my heart is just so broken tonight. You know, I've been thinking about how in the last days the love of many grows cold. You know, people's hearts are cold. You see it in the churches, and it's the sin of unforgiveness. People get bitter, and they get hurt, and they get bitter about something, resentful, and then it leads to jealousy. But, you know, and sometimes it's because maybe one person has, or they're a little different than the other one, you know. But God wants people to forgive. The Lord's Prayer, he says, Father, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. We've got to forgive. And you know that I was saying about sometimes people are just a little different. But you know, I'm going to say this and then I'm going to be quiet. Jesus said, this is my body that was broken for you. Gather up the fragments that remain. You know, each little fragment is important to the Lord. Each little piece, God wants us to love it and care for it and cherish it. This is my body. These are his. We're his people. And people, we're his only one body. There's not two or three. You know, there's only one. There's no room for jealousy, and there's no room for bitterness. And God wants us to lay aside all those things. Lay it aside. Mm-hmm. We don't have time for it. We don't have time for that. We've got time to love because God is love, and he loves this whole world. And we should love one another. We should love. Love is of God. And that's all I wanted to say, but I love you, all of you. God bless you.
We appreciate you, Sister Mary, and you call in any Friday night on here at 10. We welcome you, and we enjoyed that word, and that is true. God is love, and that's what he did. He didn't come to condemn the world. He came that the world might be saved through him. Praise God. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I was thinking today, and I put this on my Facebook status, how even the very ones that crucified our Lord Jesus Christ, even them, they asked Peter, what must we do to be saved? And Peter responded, he said, repent, be baptized in Jesus' name, and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So he even saved them that crucified him. So God is so merciful. But, you know, in the church, sometimes... it's certain churches, not every church. God's got a true church that rightfully divides the word and really loves people just as God loves people. And I can tell you are just that way, Sister Mary, and I appreciate you and thank God that you called
love
in tonight.
Lord.
Yes, you do. I can feel that humbleness about you. And, again, call in any time. We appreciate that. Sister Robin, are you ready, sis, to obey God?
Yes, ma'am.
Praise the Lord. You go right ahead, sis, and obey the Lord.
Well, the Lord had dealt with me about the root of bitterness. It says, look and diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Well, being bitter is like a root that gets down inside you and grows until the next thing you know, it will come forth as anger. But the Bible says in Ephesians 4:26, mm-hmm. be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither deal place to the devil. Now, if you'll go to Deuteronomy 29, verse 18, let me get my Bible over there. Lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turned away this day from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations, lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. And I couldn't understand what the gall and wormwood meant. All right, the definition for gall is to irritate, to annoy, to vex. And then in wormwood, any bitter, unpleasant, or mortifying experience, bitterness.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Lord sent me to Acts 8:23. Okay, I'm losing my place here. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you're fine. This is good.
Did you find it?
Yeah. Okay. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Well, I've seen people that is in church, different churches, they get in there and they might get bitter about something. And the next thing you know, they're angry,
mm-hmm.
and they're out of church, and they've turned away from God.
That's right.
And that's what Acts 8:23 showed me. Then they decide to go their own way without Christ, and soon they forget God altogether.
Mm-hmm.
So bitterness is not something any of us need to be feeling.
Yep.
And I just want to praise the Lord for giving me those scriptures.
Amen. Praise God. Sister Robin, telling Sister Mary to call in any time on Friday night, and you do the same, sis. I'm so glad you guys are stepping out, and I'm sure you ladies have been probably ministering or something before anyway, but this here is an outreach to third world countries, and it goes all over, and last count we had was over 50,000 people, and we tell, you know, Pastor John knows this, and that there's no way we would have football stadiums full, two times, three times over to get that many people probably in one gathering. So we thank the Lord for this and all the help we can get. We appreciate it. And just as you said, I was thinking there what you was talking about the gall. And, you know, the Bible talks about in Revelations that he's going to have a church without spot or blemish and that's watching and praying for him. And they won't have any gall in their mouth. And their hands will be clean, their heart will be pure. They follow the Lamb wherever he goeth. And, you know, and I was thinking about Acts 2. The Lord laid it on my heart to preach this in our church last night. Talks about this is that the prophet Joel spoke about. And says in the last days our sons and daughters, he'll pour out his spirit upon all flesh. If you turn to Joel 2, chapter 2, it talks about blow ye the trumpet in Zion and sound the alarm and how he has a people there, a mighty army, God does. And these last days, he said, it never will be a time like this again, like this time a-coming, and this army of God, and how that they would not break rank and they won't thrust one another, and they'll be kind of like Philip was when he was there preaching and many miracles were done and many devils were cast out and the sick were healed. And then he was, and that Simon was following him, and he was trying to buy the Holy Ghost, and he couldn't buy the Holy Ghost there in chapter 8 of Acts. And then how Philip was translated, and that's what I'm thinking about, how in the last day God's going to have an army that I believe that's going to be able to be translated, do exploits and things just like Joel's army. This is that the prophet Joel spoke about on the day of Pentecost when they received the Holy Ghost. So we need the Holy Ghost to have power with God to be a witness.
Amen.
And he said to go to the uttermost part of the world, and that's exactly what we're trying to do tonight, is reach out. And, you know, many over there in other countries are facing persecution for just reading their King James Bible. I believe it was the other day in China, there was 33 people that was scheduled to be beheaded for the gospel's sake because they read their Bibles and they were caught by their government reading their Bible. So we thank the Lord that just right now we've got the freedom to preach this. And you ladies, please come on all you want to on Friday and help us spread the gospel. We may never meet them. We tell this all the time, but that doesn't matter. That's God's business, how many people that are reached, because it's by the anointing anyway of the Holy Ghost that destroys yokes. And praise God. God sees the effort that we're making here, and we sure appreciate you. Pastor John, you care if I play a song real quick before we get you?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. If you'd like to be part of this broadcast, we encourage you to call in at 347-989-8862. Again, it's 347-989-8862. And the subject tonight is on Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. And I just called it looking diligently. And everybody can just go with it the way they want to. Praise God. Listen here to this song.
I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I wish I had a prayer, church. I will trust in the Lord. How long, church? Until I die, I will drop. Let me hear you. I will trust in the Lord. I wish I had a prayer, church. I will trust in the Lord. How long, church? Until I die. I will drop. Let me hear you.
Praise God. And that song, I've heard it before, and it goes on to say, I'm going to treat everybody right. And then it also says, I'm not going to run when the battle gets hot. I'm going to trust in the Lord. And I love that song, and I thought it went good with the subject tonight. And just as Sister Robin there was talking about, a root of bitterness can get down in you. And you could have all kind of alt and root, let that thing grow and just cause you to fall out of church. But you know, that's just the old devil again trying to do what he does. And we've got another caller here, 937-479. Come in, tell us who you are and where you're located.
Hey, Joanna, it's Josh from church.
Praise God. Okay, Brother Josh, we're glad you called in tonight, brother. I see you didn't click on the option one, but I'm sorry. It's a habit of just getting people to come in and give them a chance to obey God if they want to. And would you like to share a testimony, maybe?
No, thanks. I'm on my cell phone driving.
Oh, okay. All righty. Pastor John, go ahead and obey God and just do what you feel led to do, brother.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate the opportunity. We are speaking from Hebrews chapter 12. The Spirit of the Lord began to deal with me out of beginning with verse 5. He said, "Ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And what we're saying is that he says, you've forgotten the exhortation. The word exhortation actually means to pull one's aside, to the side, and begin to speak words of consolation and speaking words of comfort. And what the writer of Hebrews was speaking here, he said, you've forgotten the times that the Lord has called you to the side. You've forgotten the times where the Spirit of the Lord, the Father, as he comes to you as a father with his children. Amen. You've forgotten the times where he's exhorted you. Amen. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:22, it says, and I beseech you, brethren, sever the word of exhortation. In other words, the word of consolation, the words of comforting, being called aside. For I've written a letter to you in a few words. The word of God gives you an exhortation. The Bible says, exhort one another while it's called today. There's words of comfort. There's words of consolation. And every time he said, you've forgotten the times of the Father, the Heavenly Father has called you, amen, to the side, amen, and begin to speak to you privately, amen, as far as the sense of giving you words of exhortation, giving you words of comfort, speaking to you. And he said, you've forgotten, amen, this exhortation. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, which speaketh unto you as unto children. In other words, when the Father speaks, he's speaking to you as you are his children, amen, because he loves you. He's called you aside, amen, and this exhortation, amen, this bringing up as you are his child. He said, my son, despise not thou the chastening, amen, of the Lord. The chastening of the Lord is the training of the Lord. It actually means that it's talking about Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he not depart from it. He said, despise not the training of the child. Despise not the training that the Father is trying to train you up. He's training you for life. Amen, but we begin to despise that. We begin to hate the training. We begin to hate, amen, the correction. And the Bible said, but despise not thou, for whom... of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked to him. You know, the Bible teaches us, I believe it's in Revelation 20:19, whom I love, as many as I love, I chasten. In other words, I train them up to be my children. Amen. He says, and I rebuke. Amen. Hallelujah. And so we find, amen, that everyone that he loves, everyone that comes to him, he chastens them, he trains them, he exhorts them, he rebukes them, with the truth. Amen. The Bible says, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. You know, the Bible speaks in one place, open rebuke is better than secret love. But the way the rebuke is, when the Lord rebukes you, amen, it's a rebuke by his truth, the word of truth. He's always speaking his word. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible speaks of the word of the exhortation. You know, the scriptures teach us, even in the very beginning, that he talked to Adam, amen, with an exhortation that Adam was his son. He told him in Genesis 2:16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Verse 16 is the exhortation to a son. Son, you can eat of every tree that's in the garden. Here's the chastisement. Here's the rebuke by truth. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. This is the chastening. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, what had happened? That's why the writer, amen, of Hebrews, said, don't despise the chastening of the Lord. This was the chastening of the Lord. This was the training of the Lord. He said, here's what you need to do. I'm reminded of a good friend of mine that's in ministry now, years ago. I remember his parents telling me, amen. Amen. And many young children, amen, when they want to go automatically, amen. Amen to the seemingly the cords in the wall or seemingly the light sockets, amen. Children want to play with it. Children want to stick their finger in it. And he had even gotten to the time, amen, that as he was teething, he even bit into the light cord, amen, and while it was hooked up there and burnt the top of his mouth, the bottom of his mouth, even to this day, he still carries those scars. But, amen, this was a chastisement of his father and mother. This was the correction, amen. But, amen, they gave him words of exhortation. The words of exhortation and comfort and consolation was not to do that. Not to do it because it would cause harm. It would cause evil. Amen. And so what had happened to them, amen, that what happens is we begin to despise the correction. We begin to despise the training. We begin to walk away, amen, from it. And the Bible speaks of it in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. He says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. These were examples, amen, of the Heavenly Father when he spoke to you. Give you words of correction. Give you words that the Bible says all scripture is given for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, for correction, amen. And so the word of God, amen, is our training. It's our training manual. As God gives us the exhortation, he calls us to the side and lovingly speaks his word. He calls us, amen, and begins to this. But what happens to us is we begin to despise this training. We begin to despise the truth. We begin to turn away from the word of God. For the Bible says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. In other words, everyone that he loves, he trains them that as his child, as his son. You know, the Bible said in John chapter 1, talks about that as many as believe in his name gave him the power to become the sons of God. That in the kingdom of God, being called the son of God doesn't mean whether you're male or female, bond or Greek, Jew or free, or Jew or Greek. It means that you are someone building up the family name. That family name is the name of Jesus Christ, the family of the body of Christ, amen. And so you can be a female and be a son of God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that they are waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. The things that are made to appear, that the children of God that are obeying the word of God, amen, things are being made manifest. Miracles are happening. Prayers are being answered. And so all these things were going on. So that's why he says, despite not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Amen. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth of every man, every son whom he receiveth. In other words, everyone that has as he received, the Bible says, as many as received him, gave he the power to become the sons of God. When he's received you as a son, amen, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, for as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Amen. So when you're led by the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Ghost goes before you, amen, and you're following that leadership of the Spirit, you are a son of God, building up the family name, manifesting, amen, the sons of God and the manifestations of the sons of God. Amen. And you've been given that name. And who does it? Chastens or scourge. Amen. Now, scourging, amen. A scourge, amen, at the time of the biblical times, was made out of three straps of leather. Amen. And it would come. And so what would happen is, the scourging of the Jews. Amen. Amen. You read about it. The Apostle Paul. Amen. Five times. 40 stripes save one. What they done was, they done 13 times on the bare chest or breast. They done 13 times on one shoulder, 13 times on the other shoulder. 3 times 13, amen, it was a total of 39. All of you know that there was 39 stripes put upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, for our correction. Amen. The Bible says, amen, he was wounded for our transgression.
Amen.
He was wounded our iniquity. You have to understand the chastening of the Lord, amen, whom he loves, he chastened. He chastened, amen, his own begotten son. He chastened the son on the cross when he was not guilty. But, amen, that chastening, that correction, he done that with everything. That scourging means that he laid that whip. But you know what that those three letter things was? It was the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And those three are one. And when he laid, amen, he didn't literally lay a whip on him, but he laid his love upon his church. When the stripes, he said, by his stripes we were healed. Amen. When God laid the Heavenly Father, scourged us with his love, laid his love upon us, laid his son upon the cross, laid, amen, his spirit and gave him his spirit. Amen. We are spirits and we've been whipped, but not to a place where we don't want to go. But I'm talking about, amen, a scourging. Amen. As they scourged my Lord and Savior, it gave life to me. As they scourged him, it gave breath to me. As they come, amen, and wounded him, amen, it brought forth, because it was my rebellion, it was my transgression, it was my iniquity, but he took it all. He stood and he opened his back to the smiters for me. Why? Because he loved. This was the training. This was the chastising. But he stood and he took it for me and for you tonight. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. In other words, if you endure the training, The Bible says, endure the hardness of a good soldier of the Lord. But you endure the training of a son of God. When you endure that training, the Bible says, he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. You have to understand, this training I'm talking about, this training in Proverbs 22 and 6 is a training that will last me. I'll be in training until the day that I die. I'll be in training until he takes me home. You don't stop from the training. You haven't. There's not a one of us who needs to have my voice to have arrived or will arrive. Amen. So that which is perfect is come. We need to know that we are in a lifetime of training. I am still, amen, the Bible says, amen, we work in our homes, amen, we've got children, well, we've got children and grandchildren, amen, and all the people trying to make, amen, they're coming up with child-proof bottles, they're coming up with child-proof packs, everyone's trying to child-proof this, amen, hallelujah, their homes. So I'm going to tell you, God tried to child-proof, amen, the Garden of Eden, but his word, amen, if the word of God is not sealed enough, if the word of God is not child-proof enough, amen, for the enemy come. They had all received the word, amen, and it didn't have to be opened. But when that enemy, when the serpent came in and Satan entered into the serpent and began to speak, amen, through the serpent, amen, who was the most crafty and subtle beast of the field, when he began, amen, hallelujah, and he began to speak to them, began to get them to look at the tree, amen, of knowledge and good and evil, and she had known, amen, amen, that she was not able to touch that tree lest she die. And as she began to have a conversation, amen, with the enemy, as she began, amen, to come, amen, she began to despise that she couldn't have that tree. People began to despise the forbidden fruit. People begin to despise, and that root, amen, that some of you talked about tonight, begins to rise up and begins to trouble you and begins to defile many. The Bible says it's not what defiles a man that goes into his mouth, but what comes out of it. Amen. Hallelujah. It wasn't what they had put in their mouth except for touching and tasting of the tree that they were trying. The Bible said, now where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Adam and Eve had liberty in the garden, in paradise. Amen. The tree of life. They had given permission and they had been given liberty to partake of everything that was in the garden. But they had been restrained from one thing. God had given his word. It was childproof. God's word is childproof. Amen. You can't open it but by a child of God. Amen. The seals that were closed. Amen. At the time in the book of Revelation. Amen. John on the Isle of Patmos. A man, amen, that Peter wanted to know, what are you going to do with him? In the book of John. Amen. He said, boy, is that to you like cause him to hear until I come back. Amen. And John ended up, amen, to a training process on the prison of Patmos in the authority and dominion over Domitian in 95 A.D. He was put on this aisle, and God gave him a revelation. God gave him some training. God gave him some changing. God gave him some correction. But according to proof, amen. Amen. Despite not the chastening of the Lord. Despite not the training of the Lord. But he said, if you be without chastisement, we are all our partakers. You see, every one of us are partakers of the training of God. Not all of us stay in the training. If we don't stay in the training, the Bible says we become bastards. In other words, we're illegitimate sons, children. We don't have a father. If we can't be our partaker, you know, we were a divine partaker. You know, so many people want the blessings of God. So many people want the prosperity of God. But so none wants to be a partaker of the chastisement and the correction. No one wants to take his loving. We think of it as amen. No one, amen. But there are some of you who need some of my voice. You have missed that correction from the Lord. You have missed that chastisement of the Lord. You've missed that time of the Lord taking you aside and calling and speaking to you and speaking in your name. You've missed that time. You've missed that correction. You've missed that talk, amen, talking with your Heavenly Father. But tonight you can come back to him. Tonight you can endure, amen. Tonight you can come under the chastening power of the rod of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction. You need to know tonight a rod is not something that abuses you and beats you, but it gives you life. That rod is the word of God. David said in Psalms 23, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The Lord is my shepherd. Hallelujah. Amen. He knew that the rod and the shepherd of the staff, amen, of the shepherd, amen, gave comfort. The staff leads you back. It's not something that beats the life out of you. It's something that will give the life to you. Amen. Hallelujah. God's word is a rod of correction that will chastise you and correct you and loving you and encourage you to a place of exhortation. The Bible says, with the rod that comes out of his mouth, that's his word, shall he rule with a rod of iron all nations in Revelation. Amen. That's his word. Amen. He rules with a rod of iron. It's strong. It has strength in it tonight, church. Hallelujah. The word of God is strong. Oh, it's foolproof. Hallelujah. A fool has said in his heart, there is no God. But the Bible says, and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall not we much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Amen. The Bible says every good and perfect gift coming down from the Father of lights, which is no variable shadow of turning. Hallelujah. Tonight he gives good and perfect gifts. He brings you to a place of perfection and completion in him. Yeah. Hallelujah. But you got to go through the chastening. He said, for they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. In other words, they corrected us, they trained us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. You have to understand something tonight, amen. Without his holiness, you do not see him. Without the holiness, that separates you and sets you apart. Hallelujah. The word of God, amen, makes you a partaker. When you are a partaker of his chastening, when you are a partaker of his correction, when you are a partaker, that brings you into a place of holiness. When he was coming, amen, at Moses on the backside of the desert, and he spoke, amen, and God spoke to him out of the bush on the backside of the desert as he was tending unto Jethro, his father-in-law's, amen, the Midianite priest's flock, amen, on the backside of a desert. I'm talking about a word of God that will reach to you when you're the only one by yourself. He exhorted him. He called him, amen, to come to speak to him, amen, and he said, go unto my people and tell them, amen, hallelujah, that they will let go. He said, I've heard the cry of my people. And church, you need to know tonight that God has heard the cry of his sons and his daughters. Just as Sister Green said, you need to know something about the prophecy, amen. It talks about the fulfillment, amen, Joel chapter 2 and Acts chapter 2. But the Bible says there's something about the prophecy that I even brought about in our own church tonight. She said, he said, this is that which the prophet Joel spoke of, just like Sister Green said. But he said, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And he said, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Hallelujah. He said, your sons and your daughters. He said, and upon my servants and upon my handmaid. God said, upon my sons and handmaid, the prophesy. He said, your men and your old men and your young men, they'll see visions and dream dreams. He said, your sons and daughters will be the ones that will prophesy. These are the ones that will speak the word of God. These are the ones that will be exhorted. Amen. When all the Jews were there, amen, at the Feast of Pentecost, amen, from gathered from all around the world, we have to understand that they spoke with the spirit, amen, of the tongues that they were born in, the Elamites, the Mesopotamians, amen, the Parthians, all these nationalities came from Jews from all over the world, come, and these Galileans, amen, how they come out speaking in their word, worshiping and proclaiming the very word of God. This was an exhortation. This was a training. But, amen, this is a quick training. He said, behold, I come quickly, and with me I bring my reward according to every man's work. He said in by his prophet Isaiah, he said, with another tongue, with stammering lips and another tongue shall I speak to my people. And when he come, he began to speak to the people there, the Jews that were gathered there, amen, in Jerusalem, for the Feast of the Pentecost, the Feast of the First Fruits. But we have to be careful, because if we despise the chastening of the Lord, if we despise this correction, then we begin to look, and we begin to go contrary to the word of God. For the Bible says, now no chastening for the present time, no training for the present time seemed to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. When you've had a training exercise, that's what it's talking about here. When you've had a training exercise, it brings the fruit of righteousness. Oh, tonight, church, without the breastplate of righteousness, without the garments of righteousness, without the fine linen that's been given, he said, the bride has now made herself ready. tonight without the wedding garments, church. This is the righteousness of God. This is the saints. Amen. This is the righteousness of the saints. He said, no weapon formed against me in Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against me in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the Lord. Amen. And the righteousness is of me. This is the planting. Amen. But he planted it without bitterness, church. He planted it, amen. He planted it a noble vine. He planted it a righteous vine, amen. But it became a degenerate vine. He planted a right seed. He planted a good seed, but it became, amen. And it says, wherefore, as Sister Rachel read earlier in the beginning of the broadcast, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, amen, and the feeble knees. In other words, strengthen, fortify your weaknesses. Wherever your weaknesses, if your hands are hanging down, you need to lift them up in praise and celebration. Praises and celebration. Come on, church. If your knees are weak, hallelujah, maybe you need to go to your knees, amen, and begin to pray. And he said, make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, and let it rather be healed. That's what Sister Rachel said, 10-year-old girl said tonight. He gave the word of exhortation. You know why she read that tonight? Because there was a training. God himself, God, her father, not only her earthly father, brother Clint, amen, and Sister Green, but a heavenly father, has God and give her a word of exhortation to give to you tonight, amen. He's called her to the side. She's got a work to do, amen. Everyone on this broadcast has a work to do. You've been given a word of exhortation because why? Because you are the sons and daughters of the Lord Jesus Christ,
amen.
And you've got something to do. This is what we need to do. He's talking to the church. If your hands are hanging down, lift them up. If you got feeble knees, make your path straight for your feet, that they be not turned out of the way. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, straight is the gate, and narrow is the path, and few be there that find it. The Bible says in Psalm 16:11, amen, in his presence is the fullness of joy. Amen, at his right hand are places evermore. He said, but thou wilt show me the path of life. Jesus Christ will show you the path of life tonight, church. And the Bible says, follow peace with all men and holiness without, which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God. Church, tonight we can't afford to fail the grace of God, the unmerited favor of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Bible says in Philippians 2:8, for you are saved by grace through faith, which is a gift of God, not of yourselves. Tonight we cannot live without his grace. And tonight, some of you say, well, it's too hard for me. Let me tell you something tonight. Jesus said in the Apostle Paul, when he was seeking, amen, the thorn in his flesh to be done away with, he said, my grace is sufficient. You don't need not one more drop of grace than already been given tonight, church, to bring you through whatever you're going through. Not one more drop of grace. Not one more moment of mercy is no. Not one more things of exhortation. You already got the full training, amen. In other words, but you got to understand, until you arrive in that city, until you go home with the Lord Jesus Christ, you're chastening. And just like you said, looking diligently. You don't stop looking. You don't stop looking for the chastisement. You don't stop looking for the chastening. Amen. Everyone, like I said, a lot of people are looking. People are being trained in these doctrines of devils and these seditions. They come in and they want you to look at all the blessings, and truly there is blessings in all things. Amen. Amen. Even in the sufferings. Amen. Hallelujah. He's the glory of God. He's made it a way that when we are in afflictions, when we are in need of healing, the power of Christ is resting upon his church. Amen. He strengthens us. Amen. That's what is lifting up, and that's what's making it strong. And the Bible says, and any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. What happened in the garden? When they ate of that tree, they let the root of bitterness out into their lives. They chose death, and it began to spring up and trouble Eve, and began to spring up and trouble Adam. It even began to spring up and trouble the serpent. And the ground was cursed. And then he began to scourge him. He laid his love on him. You know what? He could have destroyed him at that time. But you know what he did? He said, I'm going to put an enmity between thy seed and thy seed, and the seed of the woman. And he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. At the cross of Calvary, he could have wiped out Adam. He could have wiped out Eve. He could have started all over again. But you know what? There was grace. There was a grace in the garden. There was mercy in the garden. He said, I will have mercy on who I will have mercy. He could have destroyed man at that time completely. Could have dropped him dead and dropped Eve dead. Amen. The serpent, all of them. But you know what? There was grace and there was mercy. He seen and he recognized. And he started the training all over again. train back to bring back to men unto him. But here's what happened to Esau. He said, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Mm-hmm. You know why? Esau couldn't find the place. He was looking for the blessing. He had already lost the birthright to his brother. He sold it to Jacob, the supplanter, the heel catcher, for one morsel of bread, one thing of pottage. And the blessing came to him, amen, and he lost the blessing because being the blessing of the firstborn, he lost it because, amen, it had come, and there was a deceiver, even as Jacob, the mother, amen, amen, helped him. But see, he had been given that by promise. He said that the elder would serve the younger. There was two nations in the womb. But tonight, amen, as it come, he sought for a place of repentance, and he couldn't find it. Church, don't get to a place tonight where that root of bitterness comes up, springs up, lest you don't have the grace of God. It defiles you. It troubles you. Amen. He said, whosoever defiles his temple, I will destroy. And when you're looking for the blessing, you can't find it because there's no place of turning around. Church, tonight, before there's no place of turning around, you talk before there's no turning back, before you turn away to your lame feet, there's a straight path. There's a narrow way if you look diligently tonight. Tonight, despise not the chastening of the Lord or the correction for whom he loves. He chastens. He said, as many as I love, that's what he said in Revelation 3:19, I chasten. Amen. Tonight, if you've been corrected, tonight, if you've been pulled aside by your Heavenly Father and talked to, tonight, if you've been chastened, if you've been trained by your Heavenly Father, tonight, if you've been scourged, if God has laid his whip of love on you, the Father, Son, and the Spirit, the being one, if they've laid that love on you and corrected you, then you're a son. But tonight, for those of you that have not felt the chastening of the Lord, to those of you that have not an exhortation, to those of you that have not been called aside, right now is your opportunity to feel that correction, to feel that scourging, to feel that whip of love, to feel that chastening, to feel his word one more time speak to you, to bring you into a place of correction and say, this is my son whom I am in well pleased. Tonight, you can't afford to be illegitimate, but you must have a father of lights. Will you turn to him, and will you walk with him, and will you be corrected by him? It's up to you. Looking diligent unto Jesus Christ, who is the author, the finisher of your faith. Go ahead, Brother and Sister Green.
Praise God. That's a good word, Pastor John. And that's you tonight that Brother John's talking to, and you've fallen away from the Lord, and you've gotten out, and you use the excuse that, well, they hurt me, and I've been hurt so bad, and you just don't know what I've gone through. If you got all those excuses, I tell you, there's not going to be any excuses when we stand before the Lord. We might as well just get back in the fold and go by the Word of God, and remember everything that's preached. Not it doesn't only just go to you, but it goes to other people. Some parts might be for you, some parts might be for someone else, and some parts might be for someone else. And just remember that, and just get back in the church. Find you a place to pray. Praise God. If there's no churches around you, if you're in a third world country, just find you a place to pray and diligently seek God. Looking diligently is the subject tonight. If you want to be part of the broadcast, it's 347-989-8862. Again, it's 347-989-8862. We have plenty of time left, and we have two more callers, new ones that we haven't introduced yet, and that's 423-545. Come in and tell us who you are and where you're located.
This is Evangelist Lloyd and Betty Yearwood down here in Madisonville, Tennessee.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Brother Yearwood. Hang in there. We've got another caller here, 606. Come in, tell us who you are and where you're located.
If you have 661, that may be me, Sister Joanna. This is Gladys from Moorhead.
Okay, great. That was okay, wonderful. So we're going to play another song here, and are you okay, sis? Sister Gladys, are you on headset today?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
No,
okay.
I'm on my phone now. I hope it sounds okay.
It sounds wonderful. It does. Okay. We're going to play this real quick. We're going to get Brother Yearwood to obey the Lord, and then we'll have you come in, sis.
Okay.
Praise the Lord. We're having church here tonight. I feel the Spirit of God in this house of mine. And you know where you said where two or three are gathered together, he'd be there in the midst. And we're gathered here on this telephone.
Thank
praise the Lord. And And this is what this is all about, you know. Just what that song says, if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll help you carry the load. And that's what we're trying to do here tonight. The callers that have called in, we're trying to encourage somebody because we've been there, praise the Lord. We've been down. We've been discouraged. We've been hurt, praise God. But, you know, we had to dust off our knees. And as Pastor John said, we had to throw up our hands and we have to praise God anyhow. And we have to dust off our knees and get back up, praise the Lord, and grow a little bit in this. Hallelujah. And realize that we're still people down here in the flesh, praise the Lord, even pastors, even evangelists, even the teachers, all the helps in the church, the fivefold ministry, we are still, praise God, in the flesh. Praise the Lord, we can make mistakes and we can accidentally hurt people, not mean to, praise the Lord, but I tell you what, we're here to encourage you tonight. We want you to get in. Most of all, God wants you to get in. Praise the Lord. Brother Yearwood, the Holy Ghost, it's going to be easy here to preach. And I want to encourage you that I think this is the most callers we've had on a Friday night. We've had 8 callers so far. And I just thank God for that. That's the Lord. Hallelujah. The people's getting stirred. Hallelujah. And want to be a part of reaching the world for Christ, which is your broadcast on Tuesday. Praise the Lord. And we're the Macedonian call, but we are reaching the world for the Lord. Praise God. Go ahead, amen. Brother Yearwood.
Praise the Lord. Would it be okay if we go ahead and turn in our praise report and our prayer request?
Amen. Yes, absolutely.
We got 2 praise reports. Pastor David Crittenden had surgery to remove the cancer from his lung. He's coming home tomorrow. He just had the surgery a few days back, and the doctors are amazed, and he gets to come home tomorrow. And we talked with Evangelist Jack Coe Jr. this week, and he said that while he was in South America, the 3 weeks that he was there, 4,000 people were saved, and we just give God the praise for that.
Thank you, Jesus.
Ooh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
We got a friend, Judy Stockton. She's not doing good, and she's had blood clots, and she has a feeding tube put in, so she's in the hospital. She needs God to move for her. And Martha Garcia is still in the hospital, but she's off life support, breathing on her own. So let's continue to pray for her. Tony says thanks for all the prayers. And a mother that wants prayer for her son that will be getting divorced next month. She said he's a good Christian, but he's having a hard time dealing with this divorce. So let's remember all of them.
Praise the Lord. So that's the prayer request and everything. And Brother Jack Cole called me a couple of days ago and told me about when he was over in South America that he had 4,000 souls saved. I tell you what, that really stirred me up. That made me want to, if I can win about 4,000 or more. Praise the Lord. So we're going to start tonight in Hebrews 12 and 14 and 15. Says, and make straight, let's see, 12 and verse 13, 14. Well, let's say 14, 15, 14. Okay, I'm sorry, just hold on with us here just a minute. Fall peace with all men and wholeness without which no man shall see the Lord. You know, praise God. You know, there's too many people today, they don't think if they have to fall at peace with all men, you know, they'll get all puffed up and get angry and they'll do everything they can to come against somebody that is trying to serve the Lord and trying to do their best. But the word there just told us that we had to fall at peace with all men. And, you know, praise God. I'm so thankful tonight that we can. You know, a true born-again believer can fall peace with all men. And if we don't, we're coming up short with the glory of God. Then we're going to be in trouble. Praise God. But, you know, verse 15 there, it says, looking diligently, let any man
fail
of the glory of God, grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springeth up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You know, praise God, we can see there that God's word is telling us there, watch, you know, don't let these things come up. Don't let them come up and defile us. You know, I praise God, there's too many today. The devil is out today to do one thing. Like John 10 and 10 over there says, the devil has come to steal and to kill and to destroy. And, you know, that's one thing that he will do. He will kill you spiritually if you'll only let him. But praise God, I'm glad tonight that we've got a God that we can come to and that we can go to and that we can look at and turn everything to him. You know, praise God, hallelujah. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Let's look over into James. Praise God, hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord, hallelujah. I tell you what, the devil is really trying to destroy. We've had all of our papers written down here and everything, all of our notes and everything, but they just seem to disappear right before our eyes. You know, praise God, the devil, he's always trying to do something, but I'm so thankful tonight, praise God, that we can go with the glory of God, hallelujah, that we can look to the author and the finisher of our faith. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. When you got about 1,000 papers laying around, it's easy to get them misplaced. Let's look into Titus 3 there and starting in verse 1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey mastery, to be ready to every good work. You know, praise God, hallelujah. Let's go on down into the second verse. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawler, but gentle, showing all manner meekness unto all men. You know, that's what God is telling us there, that we need to have the good works. I praise God, you know, don't be angry with nobody. I praise God, don't matter what the devil does to you. It don't matter what anybody comes at you with. You've got to first have the love of God. You've got to first to be willing to take a little bit of persecution because Jesus said over there in one passage of Scripture, said when men hate you, said remember they hated me before they did you, before I praise God. And I'm so thankful tonight that I know that I know that I can look at Scriptures, that I know whenever the devil come at me, it don't matter how hard that he may rise up against us, but praise God, if we'll stand on the Word of God and we take the Word, we know that the Lord done told us all of these things, and he done told us all these things are going to happen, and we just need to take it, and as Brother John said a while ago, just hold up our hands. I'll praise God and just begin to praise God because we know the devil is out to do one thing. He's out to try his best to destroy us. But praise God, I'm so thankful tonight that we can look up. We can hold our hands up highly before God, hallelujah, and worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, hallelujah. Praise God. Let's look into James 3 and verse 13 and 14. Who is a wise man and endured with knowledge among you, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. You know, praise God, the wisdom of God is good. The wisdom of God will get us through all these troubles and all the trials and all the things that the devil tries to destroy us with. Let's look into verse 14. But if ye have bitterness, if ye have bitterness, bitter envy and strive in your heart, give not, glory not, and lie not against the truth. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I tell you what, I just praise God tonight that we can, I know that we can go on and hold up our heads before God and still go on with the wisdom of God. You know, the wisdom of God tonight will see us through all of our troubles and all of our sorrows and all of our things that goes our way, goes against us. Let's look into one more verse here, praise God, in look into Romans 3 and 9. Okay, I'm going to let Betty read this because we've got quite a bit of reading. It's 3 through, 9 through 17. Praise the Lord.
What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. For there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their tongue, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their way, and the way of peace have they known not.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, there in that last verse, there, 17, says, and the way of peace have they not known. You know, today, my friend, if people would known the way and would have turned from their wicked ways and turned to the Lord, things would be a lot better. And that's what it's going to take is people getting the wisdom of God. You know, there it told us there in 14th, it says, whose mouth is full of grieving, cursing, and bitterness. You know, today the word is true. And you know, there's people out there today that is, their mouth is full of everything besides the real true, undefiled word of God. But, you know, if they had the true spirit of God in their life, they wouldn't be a cursing. They wouldn't be doing all the things that they're doing. So, but praise God, they can turn tonight to the Lord. They can come to the Lord and ask God, say, Lord, just let me have a peace of you in my mind and in my heart. And they turn to God, then praise God, they can have life and have it more abundantly. Praise God. I thank God tonight for this broadcast. And so I'm going to back up here and turn it back to you and Sister Green, Brother Green, because I see the times are running out on you there. So I'll just let you have it back. God bless you.
Praise the Lord, Brother Yearwood. You know, you always tell me it's God's time, and you take your time any time on here. And we thank the Lord for you and Sister Betty. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Listen to this here song. Praise God. I played that song there on purpose because I thought whether it be chastisement, whether it be good, whether it be no, if you're praying and God's answer is no, no matter what it is, Lord, speak the word to me and your servant. Well, I'll listen. I'll go. Praise the Lord. And Sister Gladys, it would be a great time for you to come in, sis, and obey God.
Sister, can I say something real fast before I have to go?
Yeah, okay, sure.
I hate to believe, but I got to. I want to wish all the mothers a happy Mother's Day for Sunday, and we are God's gift to for his understanding. So y'all have a good night, okay?
Praise the Lord. That was really nice of you, Sister Frieda. Thank you, and same to you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Go ahead, Sister Gladys.
I glorify God, Sister Joanne. You know, the enemy may hinder, and I tried to call like 13 times, but it just kept ringing busy. But, you know, there's always another way to call in. I praise God for that. I thank God that you allow me to come on this broadcast. You know, Brother Yearwood was reading those scriptures, and in the verse 19, it says, now we know, I'm going to go back to 18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. There are many that we're living side by side with today that have no fear today. They'll just pick at the Christians, and they're persecuting the ones that are going out and trying to spread the gospel. But I glorify my God today that I can raise up the standard. I can tell the people around me and get on this broadcast and try to speak a word of encouragement to let people know that when their hands are held down low and their knees feel feeble, they can look to the Lord, and he can make their straight path for their feet. And I praise God for that. All we have to do is seek his face, and he'll speak the word. He'll tell us what to do and which direction to go in. You know, it said that in something that I read today that with peace there's holiness. You know, we can't have hatred and murmuring and complaining and envy and strife in the house of God. And there's too much of that inside the church, and there's too much of it on the outside of the church. But I know this much of, we became new creatures in Christ once we got saved. And I know that it's just like that one scripture says in Galatians 5:9, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. You know, if you have a little sin or false doctrine come in, it can corrupt the whole congregation sometimes. And, you know, you throw a rotten apple into a barrel, it spoils everything. And I know this much, that God's mercies are new every morning. I praise him for that. We may fail him from time to time, but there are times that we do have to go through chastening, like different brothers on this show or this program have already mentioned. And I heard a little bit of Robin Grimshaw. I didn't get to catch Sister Frieda.
I'm still
praise
here.
God. Oh, are you? Okay. But I praise God that whom he loveth, he chasteneth, and
Amen.
He scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And if he didn't scourge us and he didn't chasten us, then he doesn't love us. And that's why I've tried to teach my daughter-in-law that to discipline a child and to set boundaries for a child is showing them love, because we can turn them loose to the world today, but the world will take them in, but they'll corrupt their minds. They'll teach them the worldly ways, and they'll end up in a ditch. But I praise God that if we listen to the Lord and he speaks the word to our heart and speaks it to our spirit, we can raise up our feeble hands and our hands that hang down low. You know, people need to understand in the house of God that worship is our weapon of warfare. You know, there's many times that I may be in a battle, but sometimes you got to shout your way through. Even when you don't see the evidence clearly before you, circumstances, you can't go by that. You've got to seek the Lord and say, Lord, I'll speak it. I'll speak it into existence and know by faith that you're going to move on this situation, that I can't get a root of bitterness and I can't grow strife in my heart. We may not always understand what the Lord is doing in our life, but I've learned to pray this way. Lord, I may not understand, but I trust you. When I went through those 9 brain surgeries, I told the Lord, Lord, whatever your will be, you take me through. And I was ready to go, but it wasn't his choice to take me home. There's a work for me to do, and I praise him for that. But I knew then that I just had to speak to him and tell him, Lord, I don't understand this trial. It's too great. I had C. diff at that time, and, you know, different people were whispering to the pastor's ear and saying that, well, I knew somebody went in the hospital. They never came home. We don't need to speak negativity and doubt and unbelief because we'll never have anything with God. He said in Romans 3:23, he said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's many sometimes, like you said, Sister Green, that may feel like they fail God, and they sit at home and say, well, I can get just as close to God sitting here on my couch and watching TV. Well, the Lord said in his word to assemble ourselves together. You know, like you said, Sister Green, sometimes people get church hurt. They may do something. You know, recently, I won't go into detail, I had someone get very angry with me, but I wasn't willing for that person to leave the house of God or leave the grounds of the church to explain myself. You know, many people will be talebearers and whisperers and tell other people lies, and God has to straighten things out and to let them know, you know, we're known by our spirits, and we have to show them who we belong to, and we have to let them know that we're a king's daughter, if we're a woman, a king's son, if we're a man. Praise him tonight, because we can be just like Paul. And he said in Philippians 4:12, he said, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And in the Greek Strong's reference, it says to abase is bring low, to humble oneself. You know, we can't walk around with pride and be high-minded and think we're going to get anywhere with the Lord. And sometimes, I'm not judging, but some young people today feel like they've got it all made and they know what they're doing. But, you know, the Lord has to sometimes bring us a little lower and let us see that pride will come before fall. He said in Philippians 3:14, he said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's what Paul said, and that's what all of our goal is to reach heaven. You know, it's not who runs the fastest. It's who finishes the race. And I praise God. You know, I have to admit that sometimes lately we do feel like our hands are weak and feeble, and sometimes we still have to keep going back to the Lord and say, Lord, speak to me. Tell me where you want me to go and what you want me to do, and give us guidance. He wants us to ask for wisdom and knowledge and ask for understanding, and he'll give it to us if we draw close to him, draw nigh to him. He said, submit to God and resist the devil, and he has to flee. The devil is a liar anyway. You know, each time he tries to hinder, and sometimes he wants to stop, but I want to keep going for the Lord, and I praise him tonight. I want to hand it back over to you so you can have the last half hour. So I praise God. And thank you once again, Sister Joanne. The number you did see was my cell phone number, not my regular Skype number.
Praise the Lord. So glad you got in there, Sister Gladys. We always appreciate you, and just thank the Lord for your ministry and all that you do for the Lord. It's so much appreciated. And I know God appreciates it also. And Brother Wayne Gifford, he also, I know he appreciates you and Brother Tim, and say hello to Brother Tim Forrest, and God bless you both. Praise the Lord. I tell you, tonight's subject is looking diligently in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, and everybody that spoke tonight has really done a wonderful job. And I thought at first when Brother Green told me what the subject was going to be, I thought it was going to be kind of hard, but you know, when you really look at this scripture and you think about this in Hebrews 12 and 15 says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. And I was thinking how, like Sister Gladys there was talking, if someone whispers something in the church to someone else, and I've said it before on here, when I was a little girl, I remember them playing telephone line, and everybody would line up, and the first person would whisper something. They'd start out a little story about maybe the bear was black, And they'd whisper that to the next person, and the next person would whisper to the next person. And by the time it got through the line, it might be 20 people in line, it was all kind of stuff. The bear was pink, and maybe he was all kind of stuff. It was a real long story that wasn't even true, how the telephone line first got started. And that's exactly what happens in most places, whether it be a workplace, whether it be just within your family or maybe at church or something like that. And it talks about how the root of bitterness bringing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. So many are going to be involved with one little thing of a bitterness springing up in someone because maybe they got hurt. And I'm not talking about really getting your feelings hurt and you're sharing it with maybe your husband or maybe your wife, and you keep it to you all, just keep it to yourself. And or if you have a very, very best friend that you can have confidence in, and you tell them because you want them to pray, not that you're trying to sow discord or you're trying to hurt somebody and you know they're not going to go blab it all over the place. So, you know, it's the Bible talks about in verse 19, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should be not be spoken to them anymore. It talks about people that are going around that are so in discord and stuff. The Lord, they're not going to hear God's voice anymore. And the Lord gives you a space of repentance, gives you a chance. Praise the Lord. But this is you that we're talking to. You know, God wants you to repent. You're not listening to this in vain just because maybe you turned on here to Blog Talk Radio and we just happen to be on this subject. If this is you and you have aught against your brother, the Bible says, as somebody had asked Jesus, how many times do I have to forgive? 7 times 7? Jesus said, no, 70 times 7. Praise the Lord. So that's a lot of times that you have to forgive. And I had my aunt explain it to me one time, that the Lord give her this revelation. It may not be that they wronged you 70 times 7, but maybe that same one incident keeps coming up to you. The devil will keep making things appear. You know how they say the grass is greener on the other side, but when you're on the other side, you see that it wasn't so green afterward, after all. And the devil will paint this picture, this big old picture, and he'll make things, he'll magnify things, that things maybe just was little, and maybe the person didn't mean it the way they said it, and you took it really wrong, and it really ate at you, at your heart, and really grieved you, and you just dwelled on it, and you thought about it, you thought about it, and you thought about it. You might have thought about it 70 times 7 is what I'm trying to say, the one incident. You have to forgive that person. Every time the devil would try to spring that up at you, you have to put that under subjection. Put it under your feet. Praise God. Under the blood of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, love covers a multitude of sin. The Bible says if you have an ought against your brother, to take the gift to the altar and lay it there and go to your brother and ask for forgiveness. Sometimes it may not even be your fault, but there's something there. Maybe your brother is offended at you and you think that maybe you have offended him or something. Go work it out. And then go and receive your gift at the altar and pray. And don't let your prayers be hindered by little old silly things. And some things are big things, you know. A lot of things, too, in the church, they'll take the word. You know, the devil took the word, and he took it to Jesus, and he tried to use the word at Jesus. And Jesus every time said, it is written, 3 times there in the in the wilderness. And people in church will try to use the word, not knowing that they're being used of the devil, and try to correct you in a bad way, and the way they deliver it is not good, and you get really terribly hurt. You know what? There's about in America, there's probably a church on every corner, and you don't have to just go to that church. If God, if you're really hurting, and the Lord is maybe releasing you and wants you to go somewhere else where you can be used, maybe you're just sitting there, and maybe you're called to preach, and you're not being used. Maybe you're called, you're to be a singer, or maybe you're to teach, and God has a special place for you. And, you know, I said a long time ago when my job went to Mexico, when I was working at Delphi, and me and the lady, Sister Merle, I'll never forget her, we were standing out in the parking lot when the union had told us the doors were going to close, and she cried. She had about 25 years in seniority, and she had about 5 more years ago, and she was in her 60s. And she didn't think she was going to get her retirement. And she was so brokenhearted, and she was crying. And she was a sister in the Lord. We spent many lunch times talking about God and opening up our Bibles. And I looked back at that plant, and I said, you know, Sister Merle, I said, if God wouldn't have shut this door, we would have still been in there. But God must have something better for us, and we just can't see it because we would never quit. And, you know, he did just that. Sister Marilee, she had, I said Sister Merle, it's Sister Marilee. She got her full retirement. She is totally retired. I don't know where she is today, but that was back in 2003. And they paid for me to go back to school that I could be a medical assistant working for a doctor. And I went from lifting 30-pound struts to a car to lift in hypodermic needles, giving injections, or lift in a blood pressure cuff, and making way more money than I did. You know, I would have never went back to school, but they paid half of it for me. And then the Lord provided the rest, and we've got that paid off. And I just give God the glory. See, we could have sat there on the curb. I could have cried with her, and we could have just sobbed and all that. And that's what I'm talking about in the church. Don't just sit there and sob. You go on for Jesus. Praise the Lord, because he loves you. Praise God. The people will hurt us because, like I said, we're people, and we don't mean to hurt you, and I don't want to hurt nobody ever, and I'm the first one to say I'm sorry, and I'm just taking up too much time, and I want my husband to come in and obey God. I feel so good about this here tonight. It's been a great subject. Like I said, I thought it was going to be hard, but, you know, God got right in it. Praise the Lord. We had the most callers tonight, praise the Lord, and I thank the Lord for each and every one of you. Praise God. All the way from Springboro, Ohio, here's Evangelist Clint Green.
All right. Praise God. It's good to be with you. And it's a good subject tonight on looking diligently, trying to obey God and keep ourselves out of trouble. And, you know, a lot of people have fallen into that root of bitterness, and I tell you, if you let that get a hold of you, it can take you out. And a lot of people, I say today, probably have lost their salvation because they wouldn't turn loose of that bitterness that they had down in their heart. And they hang on to that, and it just keeps getting worse and worse. And then they get to the place where they finally just give up, or they keep it in there, and they lose real contact with God, and they can't get their prayers answered because they've got unforgiveness in their heart. And, you know, the Bible tells us when we stand praying, forgive if we have aught against any. So we can't hold aught in our heart. We can't be, you know, coming against somebody and judging people in such a way that, which is wrong, you know. If we're doing the same thing and we're judging somebody else, well, we're actually we're worse off than they are. Praise God. I want to read here also, and Rachel read. It says, "Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed." You know, God's in the healing business, and he's wanting us healed. He wants whatever's wrong with us. You know, a lot of times people are looking for healing for their body, but they can't get healing for their body because they need to get healing in their spirit. They need to get healed of things that they have said against people, and they have held it in their heart. And, you know, and over here in James chapter 5 and verse 16, it says here, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. Effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. You know, I'm thinking here, you know, he's not talking about so much about physical sickness here in verse 16, because he says, confess your faults. You know, if you've got a headache, that ain't a fault. You know, if you've got, you know, you've got diabetes or something like that in your body, or cancer or anything going on, you know, physically, well, that's not a fault. But he says here, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. And he's talking about, I believe, he's talking about people, you know, that have been overcoming a fault, and they have, you know, got themselves in bondage because they've been talking about somebody and running somebody down, pointing their finger. They've been damaging their ministry, and I tell you, that's a bad fault to get into, and it can get pretty bad on you if you're holding grudges and things against other people and talking and trying to discourage them and make their life hard and causing them trouble and upsetting their ministry. And, you know, if you're not satisfied in this whatever church you're going to, well, maybe like Joanna said, maybe the Lord wants you somewhere else, but don't try to rock the boat, and don't try to, you know, don't be like Jonah. He said, all this trouble has come upon you because I'm in here and the Lord's rocking the boat. He's trying to, you know, get you out of the nest, so to speak. You know, the eagle, you know, he kind of moves the feathers out when he's got those little eagles in that nest, and they first got the padding in there, you know, and got all the feathers and the stuff in there to keep them from being hurt. But pretty soon that old mother eagle starts moving some of that stuff around, and you know, it gets kind of bad in that nest, and that eagle, that little baby eagle, has to come out of that nest sometime or another. And it's going to have to look out there, you know, and it's going to have to spread its wings and fly. And one day it's going to have to leave that nest. And, you know, sometimes God's trying to get us out, maybe to do something else. He needs us somewhere else. And the boats are rocking, praise God. And, you know, I know a lot of pastors don't like to hear this kind of a message, maybe if they're listening in here tonight, but you know, they know it's the truth anyhow. And old Jonah said, just take me up and throw me in the water. Put me in the water. Just throw me overboard. And, you know, they rowed hard to bring that ship to land, but they couldn't land it. They couldn't bring it in because God wouldn't let them. And God had a plan for Jonah. But Jonah was running from God. And I'll tell you, he got himself in trouble, and they threw him in the water. You know, the water to me is people, you know. It's multitudes of people. Sometimes God wants you to go, and he wants you to be a witness, and he wants you to preach to somebody. And God had called Jonah, said, go to Nineveh and preach to Nineveh. But, you know, he went the other way, but, you know, he got himself in trouble. So when we start going the other way, well, we're going to get in trouble. And I know, you know, we got to look diligently lest we fall into temptation and things, and something gets a hold on us, you know, and damages our walk with God. Well, we got to keep ourselves clean, praise God. And it says here, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. You know, there's a lot of people, if they would have confessed their faults and they'd admitted that they needed a little help along the way and they needed hands laid on them, they needed some to come before the elders of the church. It says here in verse 13, is any among you afflicted, let him pray. Is any merry, let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. So we see there's healing here in the body of Christ, and this is the church. He said here in verse 14, let him call for the elders of the church. Now, this is the church that we're in today. This is the same church that Jesus built. He said, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What he paid for back then, he paid for today. The same payment that took care of their sicknesses and diseases and ailments and faults and failures is the same thing that takes care of ours today. And the blood of Jesus has never lost its power. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. In Hebrews 13:8, the Bible tells us that he's not changed. If he ever changes, well, I guess the sun would probably fall out of the sky and this old world would collapse, but the Lord will never change, and everything's going to come out just the way God said it would. Praise God. And I don't want no root of bitterness springing up in me whereby that I'll be defiled and defile many others along with it. You know, when one gets defiled and one gets to talking and running their mouth on people and stuff, you know, it ain't very long somebody else will chime in. And then it just gets worse and worse until somewhere along the line, we got to quit adding fuel to the fire. You know, the Bible said where there was no wood being added to the fire, that the fire would go out. So we need to quit throwing wood on the fire. But, you know, it's a hard thing to put a fire out. If it gets out of control, you'll have a pretty hard time stopping it. But, you know, God can stop anything. But we don't want God to make God angry, that where he comes down in his wrath, and he comes down and he does something about it. He chastises us, like Brother John was talking about over there in Hebrews chapter 12, for the whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth, it says here. And I was thinking about Jesus. You know, I know there's ministers out there being talked about, and servants and handmaidens of God being talked about. And I'll tell you the truth that I've seen since I've been a Christian. I've been in the Pentecostal church, and I've been to a few Baptist churches, but I'm mainly Pentecostal, and that's what I believe, and that's the experience I have. And that I've been baptized with the Holy Ghost and spoken other tongues and pray in the Spirit, you know. He said to build up yourself praying in the Spirit, building up yourself on your most holy faith, the praying in the Holy Ghost. And we got to keep ourselves in the love of God. You see, if we quit seeking God and praying, you know, we'll get that root of bitterness in us. It'll just, I believe it'll come up because there'll be nothing to resist it. But we've got to have some resistance, and we've got to be down on our knees many times. He said men ought always to pray and not to faint. See, there's a remedy for this stuff. The Bible said if we abide in him, you know, there in John chapter 15, the Scripture teaches us that he'll purge us and he'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, he'll purge us if we ask him to. If we see there's a root of bitterness in our heart, all we need to do is go to the Lord, and we need to get down to business with God, and we need to get serious and humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and call on him and believe that he's going to answer, and he will answer. The Bible says he is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so he's purging us if we'll let him. You know, he said the every branch in him that bringeth forth fruit, he purgeth it. praise God. But the branches that don't are going to be broken off and cast into the fire. That's John chapter 15. And you know that, you that read your Bible out there. But, you know, I was thinking of Jesus. The Bible said here in Hebrews 12, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. We're in this fight. It's the good fight of faith, but it is a fight. And we're warring against the enemy, and the enemy is warring against you and I. And we must stand fast in this liberty for Christ hath made us free. We cannot get entangled again and be under the bondage of sin. We cannot go back and get into the old man. You know, the old man is dead. You know, I was buried with Christ when I was born again. Then I was, I reckoned myself to be dead indeed unto sin, because Jesus died for my sin on the cross, and he paid that price on that cross, that I could be a new creature in Christ Jesus. So when he raised from the dead, he carried our sins away. When he buried them, they were carried away, and he was risen for our justification. And we're justified tonight by faith in Christ. We're not justified by the works of the law. We don't try to break the law, but we believe in the law of God, and we believe in the New Testament way, and whatever God put in there and decided to bring on over into the New Testament, well, that's the new covenant, and we're abiding in the vine, and we're abiding in that new covenant, praise God. And if we abide in him and his words abide in us, he said, we could ask what we will, but if we start backbiting and fighting one another, the Bible said we'd take heed lest you be devoured one of another. When you go to backbiting and fighting and carrying on, you're getting in the flesh. And I'll tell you, the carnal mind is enmity against God, and it's not subject to the laws of God. We've got to get out of the carnal mind, and we've got to get in the spirit. And we've got to get, you know, I was thinking of John was in the spirit on the Lord's day there on the Isle of Patmos, and he began to get revelations from God because he got in the spirit. And we need to get in the spirit, church. We need to get out of this carnal stuff where we're fighting one another, and we need to quit backbiting, and we need to get that root of bitterness out of our heart, and we need to get down on our knees, begin to call on God if we need something. If we need deliverance of any kind, we need to get deliverance. If we can't get it going to our prayer closet, then we need to go to the church, and we need to say, well, you know what? I want to be anointed and prayed for, laid hands on, and that's a remedy there that can take care of things, because the Bible tells us that it can in James chapter 5. And there ain't two or three churches, as I can tell, there's only one. And that one church is going by the word of God. And if you go to a church, surely in the world, they preach you the word of God. And if they don't preach you the King James Version out of the Bible, that's King James Version, I'd be looking for me another church. And I understand in many nations they have different you know, languages, and but it ought to be based upon the King James Version Bible, praise God, because it's the Word of God. And I see we're getting close to running out of time here, and but I want to encourage you to keep on fighting the good fight of faith. And I'll tell you, if we got sin, we got to get it out, church. We're going to have to get under the mighty hand of God. We're going to have to walk clean before God. If we're going to make heaven our home, we're going to have to live right. We're going to have to treat everybody right. We can't just live any kind of old haphazard life and expect to make it into the pearly gates of glory. But I want to see Jesus when he comes, praise God. And I want to be ready when the trump of God sounds. And I'll tell you, I'm glad to be on this broadcast, and I thank God for each one of you that's on it. And let's not miss making heaven our home, but let us keep our lights burning. Let us keep on the wedding garment and keep ourselves in the will of God. And let us not grow weary in well-doing. Praise God. Well, I'm seeing I'm running low here on time. We're going to take these prayer requests here to the Lord, and we're going to pray.
Sister Bonnie Burke says, remember her and her family. Sister Lily Torres says, remember her family and her granddaughter Haley, that God will open up her heart, her eyes. What the devil is filling her with lies and trusting the wrong people. So, amen. Let's go to prayer. Praise God.
Heavenly
Lord,
Father,
in the
God,
name of
we
Jesus,
come to
Lord,
you, Father,
we
ask
Lord,
you
God,
to move upon
these
requests.
Lord,
it's called
in
them, spoken
in their hearts.
Thank you,
Lord,
for this
broadcast. We each call, Lord, here in the name
of
Jesus.
Lord, bless you. For calling, and we will see you again next Friday, same time, 10 p.m. Eastern time. God bless you all.
God bless.
God bless.
God bless.
Good night. Bye.